This is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 39, looking back at a loss to the Bryan Bulldogs at Boswell Field and ahead to a tough game in Philadelphia with the St. Joe's Hawks. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
All right, we'll start with a question everybody's asking. Talk about the goalie switch at halftime. My understanding is that that was planned in advance.
Yes, it was. It was. I think what we saw in a Bryan team, Ted, was a very – and very similar to teams we've seen in the past. They're very scripted in what they do. I think they get very set in, different shooting patterns and different ways to, or similar ways to clear the ball, similar ways to run offense. And we, one of our biggest plans was to chop that up and to make sure that we were doing different things defensively, seeing how they'd handle a zone, seeing how they handle man to man, doing different things in a ride and doing different things in a clear, just to kind of keep them moving, keep them guessing. What we've seen from them in the past is that they're not always great in those segments, but if they get into a groove, they've shown to be very dangerous and powerful. So, and also, Kevin's been great, steady, like he always is. And he, as we met with the goalies, we told them, but said, Kevin, you've done nothing wrong. And we have the utmost confidence in you. And we just have seen great play out of Lucas. Lucas has been, again, very different than Kevin, a little bit more acrobatic, does a few different things out of the goal. We saw another option to play another very good player that we have on our team. And we took advantage of it. So the way that it unfolded for Lucas is a bummer. I think we're more in this realm of figuring out how to get more stops in the third and the fourth quarter, and how to score or play better offense in the third and the fourth quarter. I just don't think we did a great job of protecting Lucas in the second half, and need to correct that for sure. But more along the lines of our game plan and what Lucas had been doing throughout the last couple of weeks. He's been great in practice and been very hot. So we took a stab at putting him out there and see how he did. So nothing that Kevin did wrong, and more so what Lucas was doing right, and fit pretty good into that game plan.
When he struggled, did you have any thoughts about going back?
No, I didn't see him struggling. I saw us giving up really quality opportunities to an opponent. I think the first goal he gives up, we give up number nine, his left hand, which we talked about, approaching that ball differently in that alley. And he kind of beat us to that sweet spot that he loves and kind of buried that ball low and away from about 6 yards out. And then you look at those opportunities throughout the course of that half, and it's just, they're not, we don't put him in a great place. You have two great defensemen who are on, kind of Dublin or Rourke at a similar time. And then they both don't really communicate at all and both leave the ball. And then he steps in and their best score is winding up from 5 yards and burying the ball it doesn't matter who the goalie is, really, at least I don't think. So I think a lot, it's a combination of things. We wanted to stick with our decision and show Lucas that we have confidence in him, and we still do. And believe that we have to do some better things in front of no matter who the goalie is in order to continue to give that young man confidence.
You got 53 shots against a team that limits shots usually pretty well. You were plus six in turnovers. You made them fail to clear five times. Ground balls were close. Faceoffs were even. Why do you see that not translating into wins?
I think the way that we've fallen into this rut in the third and fourth quarter, I don't think it's an emotional rut, Ted. I think it's a playing rut. We've talked till we're blue in the face about how to capitalize on a lead and doing different things in a halftime locker room, adjustments that we believe maybe don't even need to be made at times, but could spark us to make sure that we are energetic and taking a, not a stale, but a different approach into a second half. I think the easiest way to put it is the offense gets stale and the defense stopped communicating or doesn't communicate as well. And the offense isn't flowing as well in that second half. So, you know, we're talking a lot about the things that we're doing in between the lines and how much emphasis we put on what we call our bucket plays, the plays that give us possession, the plays that, you know, don't make goaltending and faceoff that dramatic or that important. And, you know, we're doing a decent job with it. Now we've got to continue to capitalize in a scenario where we have our half field defense out there and we have our half field offense out there. We need to elevate our play in a few spots. Maybe if it's resting some guys a little bit earlier, we're looking at that as well. And then putting people in positions where we can get defensive stops and put the ball in the net consistently in that second half. It comes down to, Ted, people are just scoring too many goals on us. And that needs to change. I think we've reset, reestablished, talked through fundamentals back to that Sacred Heart week, but we need to find a way as the game goes on to stop people from scoring. And I don't believe it to be the guy in between the pipes right now. I think it is the folks in front communicating better, making sure that we're as energetic and as focused and as disciplined as we are in that first half. And if we're going to do this thing the way we need to going forward, we're going to figure out how to stop teams from scoring, you know, 13, 14, 15 goals.
I did the Herons game yesterday and I talked to Coach Ann Phillips after the game and she was saying we have to get more of a killer instinct and put teams away. Do you think that's the case with your team? It seems like there have been some games this year that maybe you could have put away in the second quarter and then the third and fourth isn't an issue anymore.
Yeah, sure. But you know what? I mean, define killer instinct, Ted. I don't, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean you play harder than you did in the first half? I mean, I think if you look around, effort's out there. There's no doubt there's effort on that field and we're very proud of that no matter the circumstance. I mean, we still got guys soaking up shots. We had tons of bucket plays, you know, with big hits in the middle of the field, like you said, caused turnovers in the ride, all throughout the entire game, guys selling out and diving to back up a shot, both offensively and defensively. So, you know, the effort's there. If I were to say killer instinct, it would be, or define killer instinct, it would be to, you know, execute in a more precise and exact way from a defensive standpoint throughout the course of a game. I mean, there are very few teams at this level that win high pressure or high or intense game scenarios that don't play excellent defense down the stretch. So if it's a killer instinct, I mean, you got to know when a team's losing, they're going to push the tempo a little bit. They're going to push the pace. They're going to try to create more opportunities offensively. So, you know, for us, it's a killer instinct that's got to be, you know, we got to pin our ears back and figure out how to get stops and clear the ball the first time. So killer instinct is just in execution. You have to execute well. You have to continue to play quality lacrosse in all spots for a longer period of time. That's our hump right now. We got to get over this. You know, since the Cornell game, we've had 1, 11, 12, 13, however, quarter gap where we've just haven't really been able to gain momentum and we've given it to that other team. So we're charging it to the work. We're having our guys continue to settle into their stick work and shooting, our approach to the ball defensively, communication defensively, and just making sure we're our message is clear that if effort's here and we're totally bought in, which our guys are, then we've got to play a better brand of lacrosse for a longer period of time.
Let's talk about guys stepping up and next man up. Alex Rosa started the year on the man up, played well. You've rewarded him with a regular attack run, and he scored 2 goals.
Yeah, Rosie's doing great. He's, full transparency, Ted, he's just a tough young man. He is a consistent young man. You don't see him happier than when he's on the lacrosse field. You know, he's in our offices constantly watching film. He shoots extra constantly. His work ethic is outstanding. We're honestly trying to get some older folks and some guys on this team that have gotten kind of settled and maybe slightly complacent in, you know, their skill set and you know, what gives us an emotional and a physical edge, and making him an example. He is a worker. He puts all of his focus into his performance. He takes absolute pride in what he does, and he does it with complete humility over the magnitude of our task, which is the definition of our leadership. So we're very proud of the way he stepped up, and you know, we're hopeful that some guys do get back into the lineup here going forward, but he gives us a different element than we've had. He's an outstanding off-ball player. He makes defenses consider him inside and not really extend as much as they can elsewhere. So when these injuries come back, we may have found a staple down low here that gives us a great element. And if you see Rosie on the ground too, Ted, if you see him in a ride, he's just he does things to make a complete offensive player complete.
And then over the years, I've seen some great scorers and some great feeders at Hobart, and there's probably nobody who's better at both than Ryan Archer. 2 goals, 6 assists.
Yeah, you know, it's funny afterwards. I got a question from, you know, one of the media sources that's critiquing our play quite a bit, and said something along the lines of, you know, seems like Ryan Archer is in a little bit of a rut or yada yada, and looking at the stats and going, oh, well, he's 2-6. It's not that much of a rut. He had a pretty good game, and I think with all eyes on him right now, and again, what different type of coverage or early success does for folks. It's just, puts some targets on people. And then, you know, if a guy doesn't play perfect, essentially, or maybe turns the ball over a couple times, you go, I ain't playing that well. That's not the case for Arch. Even in a Sacred Heart game where, you know, he didn't shoot the ball particularly well, he still has, you know, 4 or 5 assists. So it's just who Arch is. He is, you know, consistent in his delivery. And I think he needs 8 or 9 assists, Ted, to break our all-time record. So something dramatic's going to have to happen for that not to be the case. But all accolades, much like the description we just gave of Rosie, all accolades that he gets, he earns them. He works his butt off.
So what has been the attitude and what has been the message this week to get the ship back on track?
I mean, this team is outstanding, Ted. They are, I mean, as resilient and as perseverant as we could hope. I mean, they are looking us in the eyes. Their shoulders are back, their chin's up, and they're just working. They're working hard. They want to right this ship. There's no defeatist attitude. There's no slunt shoulders. There's no why us, woe is me type stuff. This is a game, man. We haven't played it great in the past couple of weeks. There's no crazy secret to the reasons why we're losing. We aren't playing great lacrosse in the avenues or the times when we need it. And they get that. They are fully on board with it. You know, every message we've sent, it hasn't really been negative. It hasn't been, you're a bad person or you're not working hard or da da da. It's been in the work. We've seen the mistakes that we're making, and we're putting drills in, we're restructuring some practice, we're finding different ways to make us play better in those elements where we haven't shown the ability to do so yet, or at least for a long period of time. So we couldn't be happier with our leadership, with the core group of guys that have taken this improvement on their shoulders and we got the injured guys are working their butts off to get back, and the guys that are filling in for them are working their butts off to be better. So we have a great team. There's no doubt about that in our minds. And we've known that since September. For now, it's let's not will our way to win because we're good people and we do the right things. Let's put it into the work. Let's improve our craft and make sure that, you know, when we're shooting the ball on Saturday, we know where it's going. When we have a contested pass on Saturday, it's getting right to the stick. When we have a dodging opportunity, we're running by somebody. When we are defending the ball, our approach is perfect. When we are in an off-ball posture, we're low and flat, and our flat triangle is perfect. So we're putting it into the work that we know makes us successful on game day, and our guys are fully bought into that.
There are three teams without a loss in the NEC. One is St. Joe's that you play. The other two are LIU and Bryant that play each other. So, I mean, it's early in the season. I know, I don't even ask this question. I know you're not looking at the standings. You're looking one game at a time. But obviously, there's still plenty of time to make a run, not only to get in the tournament, but still even to get the top seed, possibly.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's, you know, we're trying to disrupt that, you know, that feeling that that Sacred Heart game, Ted, was a killer. It just, you know, you looked at some guys because they care so much and they were just confused. They wondered why. And it had that feeling of, well, geez, is this the end? And we, as coaches, we're going, it's the beginning. We're right at it here. We've got to figure out a way to bounce back and to make sure that we stay the course. So, Ted, I've been talking to you in times when we've had, you know, four losses, got into the conference tournament and won it. You know, we've gone to Bryant and lost 15-2 and then beat them a week later. You know, I mean, it's about the endurance, really. And we keep talking about that. What can you endure? And I'm just so thankful I got a team that quickly after Sacred Heart snapped back to it, much like I told you, I need on a Sunday. They blinked out and said, okay, now let's get back at it. Let's work and let's trust each other. Let's trust our work ethic. Let's trust the things that we put in. So it's all right in front of us here. And we have a very good team, Ted. That hasn't changed. I keep saying that, you know, and I think, you know, having some more guys back in this lineup, I hope this week, you know, there's some guys are starting to practice. And even if they're just practicing, you see our guys, turning the page a bit, you know, understanding what's happened in the past, but, you know, going out there and making sure that it's in the product that we can put in on Saturday. There's no what do we do now type mentality. So yes, it's right out in front of us. St. Joe's is a great team. You know, they face off better than anybody in the country. They have a couple good offensive players, but they don't blow you away. They're good. You know, we still aren't intimidated by anyone, man. Our guys are great in that sense. They're fighters. They're hard fighters. They buckle their chin strap and they go at it here. So we're very anxious to get to Philly and compete, man, and put a better product on the field than we did a week ago. And we're very anxious to right this ship and do all the things necessary to get to a conference tournament and to win it. Our goals are different. You know, our standards aren't different. The expectations haven't changed. We just have reevaluated some ways we've attacked this thing and corrected some error.
Every time I think I've seen the best faceoff guy I'm ever going to see again, a new one pops up. Here's Zach Cole, 762 win percentage. It seems to me this year that Adam Shea, most of his wins are on his own, that he's not getting the help that he could from the wings. How do you get that whole unit to function at a top level this Saturday?
You know, lots of practice, lots of prep. You know, I think if you went back and watched the film last week, Ted, we had what we thought was our best wing performance. And, you know, I think it comes with some great strategy. You know, Zach Cole is a game changing player, you know, no different than, you know, Mike Powell, no different than, you know, when you prep for, you know, like I told you last week, Rob Pinnell, these are game-changing, impactful players. They are. Zach Cole is that way. His percentage is that high. He's that fluid in what he does, and they give him great access to win the ball himself. I think if you look at statistically, I think he has 113 ground balls on the season already. That's insane. You know, but and so that means he's very good, but it also means other people aren't picking up the ball. So we've got to find a way for our wings to execute a game plan. So for us, it's, you know, Shea's going to go out and do his thing. You know, we'll throw Schaefer at this mix a little bit too, who's been doing pretty good. But, you know, it's about the game plan execution for Shea. And so we want Adam to win the ball himself. We do. And he's going to get some of those this week. He always does. He's good at what he does. And he studies like crazy. So, but for us as a wing, we need to make sure we understand, you know, who Zach Cole is, where he loves to exit, how he loves to impact this game. And if you see where he's very challenging, it's not just at the X. He does a ton for them in a substitution fashion. You know, he's very difficult to get off the field. And so we've got a good game plan in. and we believe we always do. And we just, we got to practice it a couple more times here to make sure our guys are ready to execute it. But we recognize how important wing play is, Ted. And it's not so much just how much you hustle and how much you pick up the ball. It's knowing who you're facing off against and what their wings are trying to do and beating them at their own game. So we're going at this with a pretty clear head and a pretty clear mind as to how we want to execute and exploit some things that he does. And we want to make his day very rough.
St. Joe's is a team of shooters. They've got a 26-goal scorer, 25-goal scorer. They don't have that guy that's got like 3 goals and 13 assists. I mean, basically, and that's the way they've always been, everybody's got the green light to fire.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They got three attackmen, one mainly an off-ball scorer. That's exceptional, and they all have high numbers. You know, what's great is, if you look at Arch or even at Tommy, St. Joe's in a central location in Philly, they could just play more games than us. You know, they scheduling's a little bit easier. So they've got 9 games that they played and to our 6, which is, it's something we're looking at scheduling and wish we could play a few more midweek games, and we may going forward here. But the point is, their leading scorer with that many more opportunities has, 3 or 4 more points than Archer. And so, we have those same caliber scorers on this team, those same caliber players. So, when you look at that stat sheet, their top 4 scorers their production is dramatically different than those next 4. So we're keying on those. Getting Michael Christensen and Mark Sinop pretty excited for some matchups and doing the same for Dan Ryan and Max Horton and Nolan Firth. So we're going to need some guys to step up and to defend some pretty good offensive players here and understand some tendencies on ball, off ball that make them great.
St. Joe's had been struggling a little bit in goal, and then they found Robbie Seeley, the junior, plugged him in. He started the last 3 games, 6.12 save percentage, under 7 goals against. So what do you see on film on him, and what do you try to do to him?
He's a good goalie. We recruited Robbie. He's an upstate guy, Marcellus guy. Great, great young man. Had a really good relationship with him. In the goalie battle, Kevin's got to step up again. And, whether or not, we make a goalie switch, that's up to us, for us in a shooting standpoint, we need to shoot the ball. We need to pepper this guy with all different types of shots. And I don't know as though I really believe in my heart of hearts, Ted, I don't know as though he's seen a team that can shoot the ball like we can. And, so I think we need our shooters to shoot. We need them to shoot often, and we need to continue to give them more opportunities to shoot. So I think what you're looking at from a statistical standpoint is a guy that is a goalie that knows he's got Zach Cole at the faceoff X. And, typically they're showing that they have 13 to 15 more possessions a game than their opponent. So we're more focused on that and giving the offense the ball more so that we have to put this guy in a position to make more saves. And that's been the focus of this week.
And you've continued to not turn the ball over very much. You're still among the tops in the nation at protecting the ball. And that's a good way to tilt that possession edge back in your favor.
No doubt. Just got to get him the ball more, Ted. We got to find a way to neutralize an excellent faceoff guy, to clear the ball the first time, and continue to give the ball to Archer and Tommy and Johnny and Rosa and whoever's playing for us and let them do their thing.
How are you keeping your head in the right place? You know the expectations here, and they're no greater than yours that you have on yourself. So how do you, as a coach, shake it off, get ready for one more, and forget about what's happened before?
Stay off the internet first, that's important. And, Ted, my focus is always in between the yellow lines, man, in between the lines on Boswell Field. And, I think the fact that of the relationships I have with these guys, no one knows this team and these players better than I do. No one knows this team and these players better than our assistants. And we love coaching them. So there isn't great frustration in me in terms of what's happening. It's more, I want my players to succeed. I want them to feel the fruits of their labor, which I really believe that they deserve and that they've earned. You know, I do. We got to do it on that day a little bit more. So for me, it's these guys deserve my full focus. These guys deserve our, as a coaching staff's, full energy. And, you know, whatever anybody's saying outside of this arena doesn't understand what's happening in that locker room and doesn't understand what's happening on our field from Monday to Friday. These guys are a pleasure to be around. We just got an email from a professor explaining, you know, example after example of he's a lacrosse guy, a lacrosse fan, and believe it or not, we do have a bunch of those from our professors on this campus. And he just talked about how great our guys are to be around. It was a awesome timing of an email. I'm not even sure he was fully aware of the situation we're in from a win-loss record perspective, but he's like, I just had to tell you what I think of your guys and who they are in our class and what their schoolwork looks like and who they seem to be as leaders and what they're doing on this campus. So I'd like to also point out that the expectations we have from a Division I standpoint, we've built here as a staff and from our recruiting and the people we've put in this program, we're very proud of that. So we're not shying away from the fact that we've underperformed. We know that that's the case. And we've hit some adversity and some things that you can't really predict. And we're excited to right this ship. And we're anxious for all the people, all the naysayers, the folks that don't really understand why we do or what we do to some degree, to get back on track here and back on board with us, because this team's pinned their ears back and they're moving forward. And as a coaching staff, we just want to give them our best.
Hobart at St. Joseph's, Saturday, 1 o'clock on 89.5 WEOS. During the week and during the season, follow your Hobart Lacrosse on Instagram, at Hobart Lacrosse, Twitter, also at Hobart Lacrosse, and, of course, hwsathletics.com for all your Hobart and William Smith news. Coach, good luck Saturday, starting a new chapter.
Appreciate that. Thank you.